following podcast is part of the Underdog Sports Podcasting Network. For a full list of our shows, as well as breaking sports news and engaging feature stories, visit us at www.theunderdogsports.com.
Welcome to the Don't Stop Believing Sports Podcast. We are recording today on Sunday, March 18th. 2018. This is episode number 85. As always, we are happy to be a part of the Underdog Sports Network. Please make sure you go check out our iTunes. So hit that subscribe button, hit that 5-star review. And I'm Adam. I have Ty and Tim with me. What's going on, guys?
Pretty good. Just got just coming off of the white people's favorite holiday, and enjoyed some green beer last night. Had a fun time, didn't get pinched, so that's good.
I was going to bring that up. I was very proud of our group last night that we were together. Like, no one cared that no one was really wearing green or, like,
I wore green.
Pinching.
I had my watch on.
I mean, I had green on underneath just to be safe because most people were like, oh, you're not wearing green.
So you're the dick that we, like, I was wearing green.
Well, yeah, but I did it just as, like, a safety mechanism, but not one time was it brought up last night.
No.
I got home and I thought about that and I'm like, we got a good group going on. Like, yeah. I like these people.
Yeah, we had a pretty relaxing night last night. Nothing too crazy.
Right. Just kind of sat around, had some green drink.
Watched some March Madness. Watched at least one buzzer beer last night. I didn't think we'd get to watch the Michigan game, but
no.
We watched Loyola Chicago versus Tennessee. Yeah, and that was a good game. That's their second buzzer beater win, I think, in the tournament. So
yeah.
They're in the Sweet 16 now, and a good Cinderella story. And then Michigan hit a huge three over.
That was great news, yeah.
Who'd they hit that over?
Houston.
And wow, that was crazy. That was a good shot, so.
I mean, it was Michigan, but you can't help but, like, kind of be impressed by the shot.
Yeah, basketball doesn't really count.
It always counts.
It's not as big of a rivalry.
No, not as big, but it's still that same university.
How's your guys' brackets doing?
Yeah.
I honestly, I haven't checked it yet today.
I can tell you
the final updates.
I think I'm one behind your dad in our.
Yeah, we didn't get a mention on the podcast, challenge. But we did a DSB podcast bracket.
Crazy good turnout.
Yeah. We didn't do a...
It wasn't very well promoted.
Yeah, we will say that. Winner gets a free t-shirt, which is pretty cool. So, I am currently in last place with 24 points.
I'm kind of surprised I'm doing as good as I am. I got 28 points.
One behind me.
And Tim's at 30.
Oh, I'm at 30.
Yep.
Yeah, for someone that I have not watched... Last night, watching it with you guys was the first dribble of college basketball I've watched all season.
For some reason, I was real excited about it. I mean, I get real excited about the tournament every year.
Yeah, I'm usually that way.
Even though I usually don't watch any college basketball before that. But it's just, I don't know.
No, I usually get real into the brackets and the tournament and everything. Even though, like you, I don't watch regular season at all.
I watch, like, a couple Ohio State games. But
yeah, I don't watch... college basketball, like, the more I watch it, like, these are exciting games, but they're games that end, like, 68 to, like, 67 on a buzzer beater. It's like, dude, it's just they're chucking up threes. I swear that's all it is chucking up threes, or they get it, or there's one seven.
The NBA ain't too far behind that, though.
But, or there's one 7-footer that gets on both teams that gets in the paint and he can dunk on it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, you say that with the NBA, but at least the NBA, like, they make the threes, which is pretty exciting. Like, college, just like they jack up threes and just.
We were kind of talking about free throws last night.
Yeah, oh yeah, the free throws. You'll see it like crunch time. They're like, all right, they want to get in the hands of Johnson over here. It'll flash Johnson's free throw stat.
73% on the
season. On three.
He's their best free throw.
Yeah, on 3-for-8 tonight. He's feeling it tonight, guys. Like this is who they wanted to. It's like, well, him really? Like, okay, like I guess it's like. Gosh, like, there was one guy last night that had 91%. I was freaking amazed. I was like, oh, this dude is, like, a god.
You know, he's got to be a lottery pick, right?
It's JJ Redick.
Yeah, I was like, this guy is god out there. But it's interesting. I do like the format. The upsets are, like, a really big deal. And
for the first time in history, we had a 16 seed beat a 1 seed. So, I mean, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we
that
didn't talk
amazing.
About that. Yeah. I didn't get to watch it, but I saw all the reaction to it. It was pretty funny.
And it wasn't just like, oh, hey, they got lucky. They stomped
them
by 20 points. Yeah,
that's crazy. Feel bad for Virginia. Virginia, I think, was lost her best player earlier in the week or earlier in the.
I have no idea.
in their conference tournament, I think. But yeah, they got absolutely demolished.
That's about how many points they score on a normal basis, anyways. Virginia, they're not a big offense.
They were the number one seed or number one team for most of the year, weren't they?
Yeah,
they only lost three games the entire season, I think.
Did you guys have any, I mean, obviously Virginia included, did you guys have any, early teams that you had going deep in your brackets get eliminated?
I think Virginia was, I didn't even have Virginia going deep.
Virginia's the deepest one that I had going.
My entire Elite
Eight. So you're in good shape.
My Elite Eight is still all up.
I think mine too.
Not mine. I had Arizona going to the Final Four, and I had Tennessee reaching the Elite Eight. Both of them are eliminated, but other than that, I got everybody.
Or maybe I had Virginia in the Elite Eight. I can't remember. But yeah, and you guys call any get lucky and call any upsets?
I had a Loyola Chicago the first game, not the second one, and then your boy went on a limb and picked Wright State to go to the Elite, or to the Sweet 16, and that was not looking too great. So they lost pretty heavily the first round. I was like, oh, Ohio team. Like, I used to live right by Wright State. Like 10 minutes from Wright State. So I was like, I'm going to support them. And no.
Where is Wright State?
Dayton.
Okay.
By the Air Force Base down there.
Gotcha. Mm. About you, Adam?
Yeah, no.
No?
Did not call any upsets. For me, for my bracket, because I didn't watch any, I mostly, kind of like I told Brandon last night, or Brandon told me, however the conversation went, it was, went through, picked most of the higher ranked seeds, threw in a random upset once in a while.
Yeah, I'm feeling this one. Yeah. It's been a while. It's like when you're taking a test in school, and you're like, A, B, C, A, B, C. I haven't picked D in a while. That must be the answer to this one.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's basically a lot of us, I think. So, I mean, I don't make my decisions based on any knowledge of the teams. I'm just like, yeah.
I'm going to do three next. I'm going to do a mascot bracket.
Colors.
A gut feeling bracket. And yeah, like an alphabetical order bracket or something.
I was thinking about it earlier today. Like, what if you just made bracket out of every single possibility that could ever happen in the brackets?
That would be a lot of freaking brackets.
I don't think you can. I mean, I'm sure you could.
You could. It'd take a lot of time.
You would need, like, a computer program
to remember what you picked and everything.
Yeah, that'd be ridiculous.
Because that's, like, a trillion brackets or something. Because, like, 64 times 64 times 64, like, 64 times.
Yeah.
Do the math.
No.
Yeah, that's too many.
But yeah, I think I had Loyola at Chicago the first game, and then I had Buffalo, and I had Marshall, and I had South Dakota State beating Ohio State.
Did you really?
I did. I didn't think our team was that great, so I was.
I mean, they played far and away better than they were expected to.
They played Gonzaga closer than I thought they would. So
it was funny because we started watching that game last night, and then that's when the Loyola-Chicago game started coming down, so we switched that other one almost right as soon as the Buckeyes tipped off. And I look up in the corner, and it was still like 13-0. The Buckeyes still have not scored.
We watched this game for 10 minutes, and the Buckeyes stopped. It's like,
yeah. Yeah, I actually got to catch most of the game. We were eating last night, so I got to watch most of it. It was like 15-0 when we walked in, and I was like, great.
Yeah. Ty, if your math was correct, like the formula you had, it would be 262,144 brackets.
All right.
64 times 64 times 64.
No, but 64 times of that.
Oh, so I got to take that 262,000 times that by 64?
No. You got to do 64 times 64 times 64 times 64 times 64. Oh. There's 64 64s, times. Yeah.
Oh.
I think 64. I don't know what the record
is. Yeah, there's
got to be a better formula for that. But
I'm sure you
can
just Google it. Yeah. How many brackets are possible.
I mean, surely in this world of, like, World of Warcraft and stuff like that, there's enough, like, time in the world that somebody can do that.
So let's talk a little NBA. Not much to talk about. Cavs.
Surprisingly won last night.
Surprisingly won against a very tanking Chicago team. Like, Chicago had LaVine sitting. I want to say they had just as many people out as us, and they were playing, like, campaign was, like, their starting point guard. I was like, God, and we barely won.
I don't even know who that is.
Cameron Payne.
He is.
Campaign.
He kind of did. I was going to say, he was the dude that used to do all the dances with Westbrook.
Yeah, but they ended up winning. Cavs had a depleted roster. I think it was Nance, Hood, Korver,
Hill.
Tristan Love. Was Hill out too?
No, Hill was, I think, started, didn't he?
Well, okay. Yeah, he was naming all the people that were out.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, you're fine. So, like, half the team was out. So, yeah. But we still won it thanks to LeBron. LeBron, I think, hit a...
another triple-double.
Yeah, hit a late, pretty...
career-high 15th triple-double pretty in nice his 15th shot. Year.
Good for him. He's not slowing down yet.
It's awesome, though. Yeah. I mean, good for Cavs fans, at least.
Yeah, true. But that's about it. I honestly kind of haven't been paying attention to the Cavs. I mean, with all this new Brown stuff coming
it's
out...
It's full-on football mode over here at the DSB podcast.
Yeah, man. I mean... I'm sure when playoff time comes around, I'll get back into it. Right. But as of
does that not make us sound like the biggest bandwagoners,
yeah.
though?
Oh, yeah.
Like, wait until the playoffs get here.
But, like, and Cavs are, like, fighting for, like, a 6 seed right now, which is really sad. Like, they're struggling, so maybe we do need to support them. But
it's really hard to just keep your focus on an entire season. Like,
especially with all the hype going on around the Browns right now. Yeah. Like,
too much stuff goes on in other sports to just keep your focus on one sport for an entire season, unless you actually only
and
like
I mean,
that one sport.
Opening day for baseball is right around the corner as well. It's only a couple weeks away.
Yep.
My dad said there were tickets for opening day were $200, but they're standing room only tickets.
Yeah, I looked at them. I was like, oh, yeah, that's not happening.
Yeah, no.
The next game.
It's not even worth, like, yes, I know there's a big tradition.
Next game
would be
like $4 bleacher seats.
The next game is like really cheap, not really cheap, but like not cheap as they're going to get, but.
Cheaper.
A lot cheaper, and I was just like, oh.
It's a big tradition to go to, like, opening day and everything, but in Cleveland, why? It's still going to be, like, 36 degrees outside.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, dude.
Yeah.
I'll wait a month or two, you know, and go when I can actually bear to be outside. Again, I sound like a big-ass bandwagon fan, but fair weather fan, but that's...
Literally.
Fair weather fan.
So, yeah, that's nothing really going on for baseball, I don't think. No. So, you want to get to the meat and potatoes of the podcast?
Absolutely.
Where do we want to start?
There's so many ways we could start.
I guess we got to start. We'll do the trade, the newest trade last. We'll start with just free agency.
Okay. So far, the Browns, the first day of free agency, and I guess in the legal tampering period, they did some work. Didn't really come away with any of the big name players.
No.
But I think they came away with players that's definitely going to help this roster.
Absolutely.
I don't know, man. Like, some of these guys, like, I go on other teams, like, forums and look, and everyone's just like, dude, thank God this guy left. Like, oh, my God, what an overpay. And I know we have to overpay people, and I get that, but some of these guys, like, people are like, how did this guy get paid this much? And, like, they're like, or even rival teams are like, dude, this guy, like, I'm sad he's leaving this team because we used to burn him for three teams. Like, I think that TJ Carey, like, a lot of Broncos fans were disappointed. They're like, dude, we used to burn this guy three times a freaking game and get huge plays off him.
That's
so,
not good.
Yeah, it makes me a little nervous. The one I'm really happy with is Hubbard from the Steelers.
Yeah.
A, we get someone from our division rival, and B, we get someone to shore up our right tackle.
Right.
Which I really, really like.
And his contract, I don't know if you guys have been following the contracts at all.
No.
But essentially, he's on a one-year prove-it deal, really.
Really?
I think most of his guaranteed money is that first year. And his base salary is real low. But then the second and third year, it jumps up. I think it's like a $2 million base salary plus all his guaranteed money is his first year. Then next year, it jumps up to like a $6 million base salary. So if he goes out there and poops the bed, he's gone. He's not a right tackle next year. But if he goes out there and proves it, then we're going to obviously keep going with his contract. And he's going to not have really any guaranteed money, but still a higher base salary. So all in all, it's a good contract for him.
Yeah.
Like, the numbers make it look kind of inflated.
Yeah, it does.
But it's essentially a three-year deal. I can't imagine that he'll see that fourth year of that contract. But
okay. And then we signed that Donald Stevenson guy who I've heard some pretty bad things about. I've heard he's a less than stellar tackle. I mean, he's some depth, I guess, but...
Yeah, he was insurance. Now that, obviously, Joe Thomas is gone, I'd imagine we're going to look left tackle some part in the draft.
Yeah,
yep.
We have to. Hopefully, we'll pick 22.
We trade up to get McGlinchey.
There's possibility he could fall to the first pick in the second round, but unlikely.
There's a possibility Saquon Barkley could fall to the second pick of the first round.
I've been seeing a lot of stuff. I guess we wanted to save that trade to the end.
Yeah.
That Barkley could fall a lot further than people think.
I think he will. I think the combine hype was too much. It got me. I know it got me. Like, I was so into that hype, but now looking back at it, like, I think he's going to fall. He'll still go top 10, but I think he'll be later than sooner.
Yeah, definitely. Because there's a lot of talk that at four, if he's on the board, the Browns still, either if they don't trade out, they might select Chubb or somebody else.
I want him, but he's a luxury. We can't afford a luxury.
When there's so many other holes. But Chubb would also be a luxury at four.
That's why I want Ward. Maybe not at four, but trade back.
Yeah.
A couple spots, maybe to the... Who wouldn't want to trade up? I guess it's the Bills. It's really the only team that needs to hop the Broncos now. So, but that's who... I want Ward.
Yeah.
That's who my guy is now.
Yep. Ward or Chubb. I mean, the way that this team is presently constructed with... us getting Carlos Hyde, it doesn't really make much sense to add a third running back to our mix.
Let's get into that a little bit. That's why I don't want Barkley more. We got Hyde. Hyde's not Barkley. Hyde will never be Barkley. We'll just say that. But
you can combine Hyde and Duke Johnson.
And get production. You'll be fine production-wise.
The same type of production, but production.
It might not be as sexy or as exciting as what Saquon Barkley would provide, but it'll still be there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think with that signing of Hyde, that pretty much eliminates us from the Barkley sweepstakes. It might not, but in my gut feeling, I would say it does. I would love to have Barkley. I really would.
And that's exactly the boat I've been in.
But I don't think we can take him. We can't afford to take him. We're not in that position where we can take him. If we were, if I was the Colts and I had already had my franchise quarterback, I might take Barkley.
Yeah.
I might. But I don't know, but that gets back to you want your rookie quarterback to have weapons, and Barkley's a huge weapon. So
is Carlos Hyde and Duke Johnson.
But if we do get Barkley, I mean, that leaves Barkley, Hyde, and Johnson in our backfield, right? We'll probably carry four running backs, I would imagine, days.
Mm-hmm.
But we can still flex out Duke. Duke played slot last year. Right. I'm sure he'll get more wide receiver snaps with another training camp under his belt.
I think Todd Haley will find a way to utilize Duke a lot better than what Hugh Jackson did. I hope so anyways, because –
if he's smart, he will.
Right. I mean, Le'Veon Bell, his big thing, the reason why he's holding out and not happy with his franchise tag is because he wants to get paid like a wide receiver because he put up wide receiver numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Duke Johnson is in that same boat. So I feel like that's going to be one benefit for Todd Haley is he'll be able to utilize Duke Johnson out of the receiving end like he utilized Le'Veon Bell.
I heard we tried to extend Duke, but we're having some issues because of that same issue.
Wide receiver money here.
Yeah, because of that same issue.
Give it to him, man. This team has lacked playmakers.
So Duke, you give him more money than any top running back in the league right now?
No. I'm not saying.
But that's the wide receiver money.
No, but I mean, Duke Johnson's not the best wide receiver in the NFL. Give him.
He's not getting $18 million, but the top running back is getting paid $7 million a year. Duke wants eight or nine.
Yeah, I would say Duke. I'd be comfortable with $6 million a year for Duke. I'd be okay with that.
That still seems a lot for a second-string running back who gets hurt a lot.
Yeah.
He doesn't get hurt. He played every game.
He plays every game, but it seems like half a game he's on the bench, holding his ribs. Every time he gets hit, he gets up slow.
Yeah, no, and his size has always scared me. That's why I don't want him to be that three-down back like other people have clamored for in the past.
I just don't see him paying top-10 running back money.
So when is he a free – when is his contract actually up?
I think he's got another two – I don't know if it's after next year or the year after.
I think it's next year, and then we have an option to pick him up.
Something like that.
But I can't see paying him a top 10 running back.
I think
I can't see paying him more than a David Johnson.
No, and I mean David Johnson should get paid more than Duke. But when David Johnson's contract is up, he will get paid more than Duke.
Definitely.
He's still on his rookie deal right now.
You say that, but look at Le'Veon Bell. They're not paying him more. David Johnson's close to 30, and they're not going to pay him. They're going to let him walk, and he's not going to sign for anything. I guarantee he's not going to get paid over $10 million ever in his career. I'll guarantee that right now.
David Johnson?
Yeah. He's close to 30. He came off a major knee injury.
Is he close to 30? I think you're wrong on that. I think he's still relatively young.
I think he is, too.
I think he's only 26.
For a running back, that's closer to 30 than anything. I mean, he's towards the end of his prime.
He's 26.
He's towards the end of his prime.
He's got another 4 years.
All right, maybe. But
he's got this one deal coming up. He's got to be coming close to the end of his contract.
And he's not making more than $10 million.
Probably not. But
and
Duke shouldn't either.
You want to give Duke $7 million though?
$6 million.
Is Duke or is Duke worth that much? Of
yes.
Is he?
He is.
I would give him six.
Duke is already almost one of the for running backs, he almost has more receiving yards than most running backs in NFL history. He's up there like historically already after 3 years.
Here's the top paid running backs. Devontae Freeman at 8.3. LeSean McCoy at 8. Fournette at 6.8. Lamar Miller at 6.5. Ezekiel at 6.2.
I would feel so comfortable with Duke at 6.
Me too. I mean, if Lamar Miller is getting paid 6.
I'd feel so comfortable. I wouldn't hate Duke Johnson getting 7. I wouldn't hate it.
So you want him to be the 5th paid running back in the league?
By the time he gets paid, yeah.
He probably won't be.
I think he's top 5. When he's utilized, he's top 5 production running back.
No.
Out of the way he's utilized.
Come on, Adam.
Get the homer glasses off. I'm not.
He's not a top 5 production back in the league. Duke Johnson is
receiving.
He's a great weapon for our team. But at the end of the day, he's not a top 5 running back weapon in the league.
I mean, also, you're the Browns. Like,
you're going to have to overpay. I know. I understand. I understand that. But
because if we don't pay him, I mean, even on the Tomahawk podcast, Joe Thomas and Andrew Hawkins said that he will get paid a lot of money from Kyle Shanahan. He will go to San Francisco and get paid a lot of money from Kyle Shanahan.
I say let him, and we'll draft another scat back in the frickin' draft.
And it'll be 1/3 as productive as Duke Johnson.
And it'll be 1/8 the price.
I would rather have the productivity and pay the money that we have to do it.
What running back has ever had more success?
So we're going to pay Duke. Two running backs top 5 money.
Two.
Carlos Hyde is making like $7.5 million.
He's making 5.
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
He's making 5.
And it's 1
Where
year.
Where did I read 7.5?
I don't know, but it's a 1 year.
Oh, I'm thinking McKinnon.
Okay, yeah. Okay. He's getting 1 year, and it's like $5.6 million guaranteed for this year, and then it's like nothing else is guaranteed the rest of the contract.
Yeah.
I would give Duke Johnson $6-7 million without even blinking my eyes.
I could see 6. That's it.
Yeah, I would be hesitant to move past 6, I think. But
yeah, 6 is, I don't know. I just can't see paying him that much money. When Le'Veon Bell can't get...
Le'Veon's trying to get 14 to 16.
Give it to him.
And he deserves it.
Yeah.
No, and he does.
Give it to him.
Duke Johnson damn well deserves 6 million.
I just think after 2 more years of Duke running...
Because once Le'Veon gets this contract from the Steelers, it's going to reset the running back market.
But he's not getting the contract from the Steelers. He's not getting the contract from anyone.
Not right now. He will. No. They're working at it.
They're working at it at $10 million a year, $11 million a year. Yeah. They're not working at it at $14, $15 million a year.
Does he think he retires?
No.
I don't think he will retire. I think he might retire for a year.
I can see him sitting out an entire year, not playing, and then hitting free agency.
Yeah, I could see him doing
that. And then I could see him getting $12, $14 million from somebody else.
He won't get 14. 12 is his absolute ceiling on his franchise tag.
We'll find out.
We will, but last thing about the running back market is there's such a short prime on running backs that why pay them? Like, it's a crappy thing to do. Like, they deserve to be paid. They're such a huge part of their offense. But Zeke, I doubt will ever hit over $10 million a year.
I think he will.
I
think with the way – because the salary cap keeps going up. Every year, the salary cap jumps.
But with the salary cap jumping as much as it has in the last 5 years, Devontae Freeman is only at 8.
Yeah. And I think that's accurate for him. I don't think he should be the highest paid running back in the league.
I don't think he should be.
He should be top 5 to 10 at $8 million. He should be top 5 to 10.
Oh, he should be. No, I 100% agree with that. He should be, but that's not how the market works. Like, no one's going to pay a running back who, I mean, after their rookie contract are what, 26, 27? Usually, that's when you hit your second contract. No one's going to pay a running back on the back end of their career $12 million a year.
Who did you say was the fourth or fifth? Lamar Miller?
Lamar Miller.
On his second contract?
I think Doug Martin was the...
Oh, was the last one.
Doug Martin is the fourth at 7.2.
And is that with the Raiders that he just signed?
That's with the Buccaneers.
What about where's Lamar Miller at?
Lamar Miller is at 6 at $6.5 million.
On his second contract?
On his second contract. And what has he done in the Texans? Is he a top 6 back?
No.
Exactly. That proves the point. Like, you proved my point. Like,
no, because on Lamar Miller wasn't Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, on his second contract he
should
have.
So on his second contract he got way overpaid.
He did. And then where he should've bit the team in the ass. So all our teams are be like, "Yo, they paid that running back who had potential, but he's on the back end of his career. They paid him, and now he's not doing anything for him. And they're going to have to start looking for
backup. I wouldn't
say
Lamar Miller's doing nothing for him. He's not okay.
Is he a top five back in the league?
No. Ezekiel Elliott will be still on his second contract. And teams will see that, and they will pay him accordingly.
Maybe. I don't see it. I think it's never happened.
And I feel like if anybody's going to do it, it's Jerry Jones.
That is true. That is very true. But I think if it was ever going to happen at any time in the league, like, running backs have always been underpaid. I don't see why it would change anytime soon when it's a passing league. Running backs are very easy to come by, and they have such a short prime. I don't see the reason to pay them, personally.
There's, in my eyes, it's, for the most part, you're right. Like, on the Lamar Millers and stuff.
There are exceptions, like,
but the Ezekiel Elliotts, the Todd Gurley's, the Le'Veon Bell's, the Leonard Fournette's, they will be the exception. They're going to be the ones getting paid. They're going to be the ones breaking that $10 million barrier.
In the last 10 years, I can only think of running back that deserved a second contract, and that's Adrian Peterson.
LaDainian Tomlinson.
Yeah. Okay, LT, but that was like, I wouldn't say that's last 10 years, because he was in his...
I guess
he was
with
the Jets in like 08 or something, I think.
He was still putting up good numbers with the Jets.
Yeah, but like Maurice Jones-Drew, like, he was a top five back in the league. He never deserved his second contract, right. I don't think. Like, all those top – I'm trying to think.
But I would
Sean Alexander. Like, these are MVP backs who, as soon as they hit 26, 27, fall off a cliff.
I mean, like I said, for the most part, you're right. I think that there are the few exceptions, like the Le'Veon Bells, the Todd Gurley's, the – Zeke's, possibly one day the Saquon Barkley's.
Right.
But right now, I do think that Duke, based off of what he gives us in the run game, when he does run, he doesn't carry the ball a lot, maybe 70 to 100 carries a year, I'd guess. I haven't looked at his stats, but that plus what he does out of the backfield, he is more of a receiver for our team, so therefore I would be okay paying him more receiver money.
I really do agree with that. He should be paid that much. I just don't think he ever will be. I really do think he should be paid $7 million a year, because if you look at the receivers who are getting $7 million a year, you're like, ew. Like,
Sammy Watkins just got 16. Wouldn't have given him I would have been that was a, I would have been iffy if I give him $6 million.
There
a
were
year.
Some bad contracts this free. The Redskins really offered, who was it, Paul Richardson?
Yeah.
Like a $40 million contract or something. Like,
this is going to lead me to a tangent here. I have a huge issue.
82 rushes. For 82 rushes for 348 yards and
so
four TDs.
70 to 100 carries a year.
74 receptions, 693 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Wait. Yeah.
He only had 3 touchdowns receiving? It seemed like way more than
7
that.
Touchdowns total.
I guess,
well, we didn't score very much.
I was going to say, I guess Kaiser did only throw 11 all year. So, but this offseason, I have a huge issue with the way teams – like we've talked about it before on this podcast – The fact that there's no loyalty from the teams to the players, but they expect it from the players to the teams.
Which, yeah.
Like, Jordy Nelson is going to be my number one example. Mm. Actually, no, I'll take that back. I'll use Tyrann Mathieu as my number one example. How do they go
He's
to
only
Tyrann
24 Math- years old.
Right? How do they go to him at 24, 25 years old, whatever he is, and be like, hey, we need you to take a pay cut.
Yeah, that's...
And he's like, no. And they're like, okay, we're releasing you. Hey, Sam Bradford, the guy that hasn't played in like 3 years because your knee can't stand up. Here's $20 million.
Yeah, and they leak it to the media like, well, we're offering help. He needed to help the team. And it's like, no, he needs to help himself. Like, right. This is his money. Like, okay. It's not his fault. You're bad at managing your cap and can't afford to
and
pay
then
the players.
The Packers are like, hey, you know what? We need to get Aaron Rodgers some more weapons. Jimmy Graham, here's $10 million a year. Hey, Jordy, you want to take a pay cut? No? Okay, see you later, buddy. Like, yeah, what? It's messed up, man. I don't like that aspect.
Going back on the Sam Bradford thing. Is Sam Bradford really that much of an upgrade over Blaine Gabbert?
No. Yeah. No. Hold on. If he's on the field, yes. 100% yes. If. The one game a year he's on the field will probably be a win. I'll be honest.
I don't know.
When he's on the bench? No. Come on, Tim. Like, Sam Bradford, Blaine Gabbert, there is a difference. Like, there's a reason teams are trading first-round picks. It's because when he's on the field and healthy, he shows stuff.
He does show stuff. I don't know what his numbers are last year.
He's not consistent. I mean, he only played one game last year.
Well, not last year, but the year before or whatever. But
he showed stuff, but it was with the Vikings. I feel like whenever you put on that purple uniform, it's just something good happens. It doesn't matter.
Case
Keenum, quarterback.
Brett Favre.
Yeah.
Well...
Yeah, sure.
I mean, Brett Favre went a year or a game away from the Super Bowl with the Vikings. So, but yeah, it's been such a weird off season with there's been a lot of high profile names.
Yeah.
Moving like the Tremaine Johnson
that
deal.
Yeah.
Brian was telling me last night, sorry, I know people listening don't know who Brian is, but he was part of our group here at the party last night. And he was telling me that for Tremaine Johnson, he's getting guaranteed like $27 million this year from the Jets, to where Peters, Tlaib, Joyner, and whoever, and Sam Shields is less than that this year. And that's with one of it's with him on the franchise tag as well. Like,
yeah, isn't Peters and Tlaib making like less than $10 million combined, I think, this year?
I think so.
So I think one's on a rookie contract. Peters is on his rookie contract, and Tlaib is a nutcase, so that he has no leverage in negotiations, so they just feed him peanuts.
Right. It's
Talk about contract. How crazy is Josh Gordon's contract? He's making $790,000 this year.
Right. I really hope that we have an extension for him by week six, if he's still on the field on week six.
How much do you see his extension being? $10 million
A year or total?
Year.
No. I don't think he'll get paid.
You don't think so?
I think he's got too much of a troubled history to get paid. Too.
I could see him getting till 10. I really could.
I wouldn't be mad about it.
I don't think he will.
I mean, as long as there's stipulations in there saying you got to be on the field.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Oh, if it's incentive-based, I wouldn't mind paying him top receiver money. I'd say give him a Sammy Watkins contract if it's all playing time, roster bonus, everything like that.
Get him a financial advisor.
Yeah.
Be like, don't spend this on drugs, please. Right.
Like when Josh Gordon is on the field, do you say yes or no he's a top five receiver in the league?
Oh, yeah. I do.
I want to say yes, but I didn't see enough last year from him with Kaiser.
But then again, he's been off for 3 years.
Exactly. I still want to say yes, though.
Right.
I still mean, do.
At the bare minimum, he's top seven.
Yeah. I would say top five.
Bare minimum, top seven. So I would have no issue at all paying him as a top seven receiver in the NFL. Granted, it has to be incentive-based.
All incentive-based? If it's Pro Bowl, all pro.
1,000 receiving yards, 1,500 receiving yards, 1,200.
I don't care at all. Yeah.
Give it to him.
Yeah, easily.
Give that man motivation to come and play for the Browns, because back to like what we were talking about with Duke Johnson, we don't have enough playmakers. We don't have enough people that we're going to get excited to go to a game on Sunday to see. When the Browns travel to the New England Patriots, who are they looking forward to seeing play on the Browns? It's Josh Gordon and it's Duke Johnson.
Miles Garrett.
I feel like it's not even Duke Johnson.
I feel like it's not Duke Johnson.
Nobody knows who Duke Johnson is.
Very few fantasy guys.
I think because of all fantasy, it helps.
Not even all fantasy guys. PPR fantasy guys.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Standard. They're like, oh, this backer running back, I don't want him.
But, I mean, we need to make sure that we keep our playmakers in-house and give us as fans something to be excited for on Sundays and people to watch, as well as, you know, opposing fan bases, because ultimately that's good for Jimmy Haslam.
Let's talk more free agents. Who else did we sign? A couple corners, lower depth corners, I just think.
Yeah, it was that TJ Carey, and then there was...
I forget the other guy's name.
Something Mitchell.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, I don't know.
But we did trade Jason McCourty to the Patriots as well. So that opens up. We're expected that, as far as I know, TJ Carey or Curry or whatever his name is going to be a starting corner for us.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, depending on what else happens this season.
When are we trading Taylor? It's got to be soon, right?
I don't think he'll make it past preseason with us.
We'll cut him.
Yeah.
If we can't find a suitor for him.
So I guess we're hoping it's rookie
Derek Kendrick.
So is Carey gonna be our number one corner if we get a rookie?
Possibly.
Either him or BBC.
Yeah.
Or BBC, I don't think he can.
Because I don't know. I guess
he's too good in the slot to play outside.
That's what I thought too, but I was reading something and they said that he played outside last year as well and did pretty well.
Yeah.
I don't really pay attention during the games of where BBC is playing. I just remember him making plays like all the time. And
I still think that play was dirty.
No.
It was.
No.
It was.
But they said that BBC might move outside and let Mitchell play inside. But I still think there's going to be changes to this Browns roster.
Yeah, I think there's got a lot more turnover coming. Let's talk the big trade. Or let's talk – we got a retirement to talk about, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, obviously everyone knows it by now. It's not like it's breaking news at this point. You've all heard it. But the greatest Browns player of our generation and likely that we will ever see in our life, Joe Thomas, announced his retirement from 11 years playing with the Browns. He retires with a career record of 48-125.
Lowest win percentage going into the Hall of Fame.
And 10 of them came in his first year.
Wow, I didn't think about that, Tim. Damn. Ugh.
Man. So for him to play 10,000 straight snaps, despite the fact that he won basically 36 games in 10 years, that just tells you everything you need to know about Joe Thomas.
Is he a top five Brown of all time? Or top three, I should say.
Top two. I'd put Jim Brown and Joe Thomas number two.
No Lou Groza, Otto Graham.
I don't know. Maybe Otto Graham, because he was a quarterback and he led him to all those championships and everything. I don't know enough about Lou Groza. I know he was a kicker and an offensive lineman.
Yeah, that's all I know.
But I don't know how great he really was. You know, there's not exactly a bunch of YouTube highlights of Lou Groza to go watch.
Right. Marion Motley? No, he's not your top three?
No, I'm sure I feel confident putting Joe Thomas over Marion Motley. But I mean,
the disrespect.
They already said that they're going to put that 10,000 snap streak up in the Ring of Honor.
Yeah,
at the stadium. I think it's pretty safe to assume here at some point 73 will be retired.
Definitely.
All right, I have a question for you guys. This one I think went different pins. Does he deserve a statue? I say no.
No.
I say a statue comes with winning. It's not his fault he didn't win. It really isn't.
Yeah,
he's an offensive
line. It's not his fault we lost either.
It's not his fault we lost, but a statue, I don't know. A statue means so much
but
more.
But then
than
again,
that.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think we need a statue.
See, I thought you guys were saying statue.
Do you build statues for offensive linemen?
I don't know.
I would make the argument that because it's not his fault whether we win or lose, he probably should not have a statue.
I mean, yeah, that's also true because he has such.
I love Joe Thomas, but like,
yeah, everybody loves Joe Thomas.
But everyone's calling for a statue, and like, they're like, if they don't announce a statue in the next week, like,
no,
I don't know, man. Like,
I'm with you. A statue, you need
LeBron.
Yeah.
You need LeBron.
LeBron needs to
you
be
need
a
to have
statue.
Some kind of
a,
I mean,
Jim Brown deserves a statue. LeBron deserves a statue. Joe Thomas still isn't on that level.
And whatever quarterback leads the Browns to a Super Bowl after this freaking disaster of 20 years.
What if it's like a Joe Flacco?
Yeah. I say, what if it's like a defense-oriented Super Bowl win?
It's Trent Dilfer.
Build him a statue, baby.
He got Nick Foles, some backup quarterback. You're like, oh, God. He's only on the team for half a season.
Being dead serious. Yeah. If the Browns were the Eagles and we had a backup quarterback do that, do you think that there would be a statue for Nick Foles for the Browns? I 100%
yes,
feel that the Browns
fans
100% think.
I would vouch for it, honestly.
That's what I'm saying, man. Like, it don't matter who it is. We're going to want a statue of whatever quarterback wins us the Super Bowl.
It's going to be a great day one day.
One of these days. Always next year, man. There's always next year.
So let's talk about the trade. The biggest trade is the New York Jets are now picking in the top three. How many second-rounders did they give to the Colts? Three or four?
Three
second-rounders and their first?
Yeah.
That's a pretty good haul for the Colts.
I don't understand this move in any way, shape, or form for the Jets. It makes absolutely zero sense for them to do it this early.
Mm-hmm. This early? I get it.
I get it, yeah.
Because what happens when... I mean, they're basically saying that they have the same grade on Rosen, Darnold, and Baker. I mean, that's got to be the case. That's the only way it makes sense. Because for them to just trade up randomly to number three without knowing who's going to be there, like, what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Makes no sense.
Yeah, that's...
But then, I guess, would the asking price be higher if they wait?
I don't know.
Although it's pretty high to begin with.
It probably would be the case because there'd be more bidding for it.
I think the Bills were trying to trade up to that pick also.
Yeah.
I think they were bidding now.
The Bills to the punch.
But so, like, say they have, like... I'm just throwing out random numbers. Say they have a grade of 89 on Rosen, 88 on Darnold, and 74 on Baker. Darnold and Rosen go 1-2.
They must have a good feeling of who's going 1-2. They might feel that Giants are going Barkley.
Or Quentin Nelson.
Yeah.
Yeah. They might feel that Giants aren't, which is a stupid move for Giants. Giants are 100%
because if that's the case, the Giants should. They inquired to the Browns about the number one pick. They inquired to the Giants for the number two pick. They settled on the number three. So the Browns and the Giants are set at 1-2. We already know who we're taking.
I can still see the Giants moving out to the Bills if they offer enough.
Yeah, they would have to probably significantly up the offer. But
I mean, if that, I don't know, if that Jets offer wasn't enough, then I feel like they'd.
I feel
the
like
only,
three
the
first.
Only benefit, from the Colts, but
the only benefit would be that they would have
they gave a lot
12 and 20, what, 22 or 23 22. Or whatever it is. And then yeah. they would probably get a first next year from the Bills as well. So that's
that
three first round
picks.
That's going to be a high first next year with the Bills. So, saying you want to playoffs again next year.
Right. But this trade makes no sense for the Jets. It seems that quarterbacks definitely got to be going one, possibly two. I mean, I can't make heads or tails of it.
Yeah, I think quarterbacks 1, 2, 3, and then we get our choice of trading out to Buffalo at 4 for a quarterback to hop Denver, or we get our choice of best skill position player, which is a great position to be in.
Yeah,
I'm so
absolutely.
Happy.
And I still 100% feel that the Browns are probably trading out of 4. I really think.
I feel like that's not the way that's going to shake out because like
it's too, like good, too to good to be true. Exactly. But
It'll get messed up somehow.
I don't understand. Everything we've been seeing for the Browns is Darnold at 1.
That's so stupid.
And we just traded Deshaun Kizer. And why did we trade Kizer? Not just because we lost, but why did we lose
turnovers.
A lot? And what is Darnold known for?
Turnovers.
Freaking turnovers.
So, like, why have we not seen anything about Rosen at 1? I've not seen a single thing about Rosen to 1. Have you guys?
No.
Not a single thing. It's all Darnold, which could be smokescreen. Maybe I know Dorsey has a lot of connections around the NFL. Maybe he's telling these guys, like, hey, I want you in your mocks, put Darnold 1. I know a lot of the mock guys, I'm pretty sure McShay has the same agent as Darnold. It has been pushing him to go number 1 in mocks. Pretty sure he has the same agent as Darnold and one of the other top quarterbacks. And both those quarterbacks are always really high in his mocks. Like
Allen, probably.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Rosen's been falling behind Allen on some of them. So I think McShay's really pushing
that. The fact that we are quiet on Rosen kind of makes me feel good because I want Rosen. And, like, did you hear anything about the Browns going to get Tyrod?
No.
Did you hear anything about trying to get Jarvis?
No.
A little bit, but
no,
it was
all
more speculation.
The one thing I saw yesterday was Sam Darnold's the only quarterback that we sent our full contingent to. That's going to be smokescreen to me.
Yeah, me too. I mean, because they came out and said, why didn't you go to Baker's or Rosen's pro day? Dorsey said, oh, we always got private workouts. But yet we go to Darnold's. So,
yeah.
It's appearance.
But then again, you say, I guess, because he didn't throw out the combine.
Yeah.
True.
Who knows?
Everything's smokescreen.
Yeah.
Right now. Everything you got to take
it's
with
just
a grain
all speculation.
Of salt.
Yeah.
So is there any final parting thoughts, anything that we may have missed this week before we wrap it up?
I don't think so. Are there any other big-name free agents that went anywhere? Got released. He's still looking.
Matthew
Honey
went
Badger,
to the Texans.
Which
still, I like that move.
Pryor's still available.
I saw he was visiting the Seahawks, and Russell Wilson
He
didn't sign.
He went somewhere else. He wants to come
back to Cleveland. He's been putting it all over social
really
media.
He wants to, but he's not going to. He wants too much money.
Yeah. But I think, yeah, that's really the major noteworthy ones that we all hit on. So I think that's going to do it for this week's episode of the Don't Stop Believing Sports podcast. I'd like to thank everybody for listening. Also, if you haven't already, go check out our store. We finally got the merchandise in that tie ordered.
Real good.
And it looks real good.
The baseball shirt, I definitely recommend. It fits super good. I got a medium and I really like it a lot. The hoodie I'm wearing right now, it's pretty nice.
Maybe if I'm lucky, I can convince Ty to post a picture on social media for people to check it out.
But yeah, we'll see.
I'm just putting some pressure on you. But that'll do it. Thanks, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
See you guys.